Hello and welcome to this episode of Battling with Business with me, Gareth Tennant. This is normally a podcast where myself as a former Royal Marines officer discuss challenges with Chris Kitchener, a product manager from the world of business, around leaders and leadership, teams and teamwork, and all things in between, comparing and contrasting our experiences as we attempt to work out what makes teams, leaders, and businesses tick. However, this is a special bonus episode where some of you may know, every year I am kindly invited to speak at a tech conference called Technology, Behaviour and Data. This year, the theme of the conference was failures. Now, the host of the conference, Paul Armstrong, didn't really give us a lot of detail about what he meant by failures, but my interpretation of that was to think about lifting the mask of what I do and to start talking about why I do things. I also wanted to explore the concepts of hiding behind the comfort of discussing issues over the internet and using social media, which feels sometimes like we're hiding behind a mask. And so this year's speech was called Cynical Optimism and why I think we've got to work together for a better future. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll catch up with a regular episode on Thursday. Thanks, Paul. And once again, thanks for your highly flattering introduction. I was hoping to have a snowy backdrop behind me because I'm dialing in from Ontario, Canada, where it's a balmy -5 degrees. But unfortunately, it's so early in the morning here that it's still dark outside. So instead, you've got the corner of my Airbnb instead. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be at TBD. Many of you will probably have seen me before. And as Paul has just said, I'm an alumni to TBD. And normally I talk about lessons from the military that I've learned in my career as an officer in the Royal Marines. And I normally talk about things like problem solving, decision making in uncertain environments, or small team leadership, or those kind of things. What I try not to do is to, or I try and avoid the sort of cliches of battle and war and destroying the enemy, because I think we've seen enough of that, and I don't think it's helpful. And the lessons that I draw on from my career in the commandos is lessons around collective endeavors, team cohesion rather than individual efforts. And I think Hollywood and the media has a huge amount to answer for in terms of the depiction of the military. And I think because of that, we glorify the idea of gladiatorial fights between two competitors, between great generals. We romanticize this kind of idea of single acts of bravery and heroism in combat. And in my experience, the reality is far from that. For me, the thing that we do extremely well, the thing that the Royal Marines certainly does, is foster cultures that thrive off each other and work collaboratively to solve complex problems in difficult environments, in difficult situations. And so that's what I want to really concentrate on. But this year, I want to move away from talking about what I do and really to talk about why I do it and what I believe. So today I want to talk about optimism, collaboration, and the power of collective action in shaping a future that we all want. And so given the title of this year's TBD is about failures, I want to talk about lifting the mask or lifting the failure that we hide behind when we interact with social media. So in my work as a decision support consultant, I've learned that we don't make decisions often as individuals. We tend to make decisions collectively as groups. We form cultures that have shared consciousness. And then it's the intersection of diverse viewpoints that creates the opportunity to make decisions. And so it's in the crucible of discussion and debate that innovation thrives and that solutions emerge. And it's through collaboration, not isolation, that we unlock the potential for collective creativity. And I think that's really important because we are at a time now where we face significant challenge as societies. And we've heard from the brilliant Tom Standage already at The Economist about what happened last year and what is likely to happen a little bit in the future. And to be honest, yeah, looking at the news headlines, looking at our doom scrolling on our feeds, it can be quite depressing. It can induce anxiety. There's a lot going on in the world to be conscious of, to be worried about, to think is creating a huge amount of challenge for us. So we've got a rising global conflict. We've got an undermining of democracy through the rise of populism. AI is undermining our trust in, you know, everything really. And so we really need to think about the challenges that lie ahead of us as societies. And these are big, big challenges. And I haven't even talked about climate change. But in my work as a consultant in decision making, it's my job to help people understand threats, to understand the risks and to articulate those. But it's also, of course, my job to see the opportunities and to help people identify and seize them. And this is why I genuinely believe that we should be and need to be optimistic about the future. So all the things I've talked about, all the things that can leave us depressed and feeling anxious about the future, they're not new. We've had national crises, we've had conflict, we've had tragedy, we've had events around the world that are creating negative impacts or uncertainty. These are not new. What is perhaps new is the fact that we have 24/7 news coverage, the fact that we are all conditioned to check our phones every 2 to 3 minutes to get those visceral updates, to get those video feeds or those memes, bringing the visceral nature of those tragedies into our homes. But I think actually, you know, on the face of it, a lot of these things are not as bad as they seem. So global crime rates are falling. Whilst global conflict is increasing, the amount of deaths caused by conflict are falling. AI, of course, AI is thrust upon us with large language models over the last year or so. And we've really seen the power of this stuff. And it's scary, the ability to create false narratives and false content. But we've also seen some of the incredible creativeness that can be harnessed through collaboration between humans and teams. And technology, of course, is not good or bad. In its own right, technology is neutral. And it's how we decide to use that technology collectively that is important. And that, I think, is one of the reasons we need to be optimistic. Because on the whole, we're good people. We share values that are collectively good, that are collectively in our own interest. But if we are constantly anxious about the future, if we're constantly cynical about what we get in our newsfeed, then we're more likely to succumb to using that technology for negative outcomes. We live in a world, of course, that is sensationalist. We seek simplification of the massive deluge of complex issues that are thrown at us. And we gravitate towards headlines rather than research or reading into the articles behind those headlines. We see memes as a way of sharing information. And there's this additional misconception that we live in social bubbles, that somehow we are fed content that we already believe in to reaffirm our views. But of course, it's a bit of a myth because we have never had as much access as we have now to as much information and as much diverse information. And we've never had as much access to such a diverse and wide audience of people. You know, pull a phone out of your pocket, click a button, and you can engage in an international conversation. The problem is, of course, that we're not culturally aligned to the people that we're interacting with. We have no affinity with the faceless mask on the other side of the internet. And therefore, we're automatically skeptical about their opinions when they differ from our own. And we find collective solace in the group ideas that agree with our view of the world. And so we are polarizing ourselves. And this isn't Facebook or any other social platforms polarizing us. Platforms are serving as content. They are by design diverse. We're the ones that are feeding their algorithms with clicks and with likes. So please don't for a minute think that I'm trying to absolve the social media companies from their part in this. I'm not. What I am saying though is it is within our gift as individuals to not succumb to it. not to just gravitate to the people that agree with us, not to just dismiss the people that disagree with us. People don't tend to want to explore new ideas. It makes them uncomfortable. And so that brings us back to this idea of faces. We hide behind this created persona that the online world gives us. And we find collective solace in our groups, and we find comfort in the oversimplified narratives that are presented to us. Because if we try to understand these complex, different and difficult issues, they become very scary, they become time consuming, and they leave us blaming those people that disagree with us rather than actually tackling the complexity of the problems themselves. Now, in military decision making, you have to think like the enemy. You have to try to understand the complex threats and the complex problems. It's life and death. And that leaves you in this strange position where you have to empathize, not sympathize, but empathize with an adversary that is trying to kill you, that has such a different lived experience, such a different worldview, that they have come to the point where you are in opposing views trying to kill each other. I now work with clients to build systems that can cope with trying to understand the strange and difficult worldviews of other people that are trying to deal with risk, challenge, and uncertainty. And as a result of this, I've become optimistic about the future. I think we do have it within our gift to solve complex challenges and problems. But I've become a cynical optimist. I know that at face value, everybody is presenting a version of themselves, a persona that is simplified. Everybody is seeking quick and simple solutions. And so I don't trust anything that I'm told. Everything I read, everything I'm told, everything I see, I treat with absolute skepticism. I view it as deception, deceit, or oversimplification, or simply just naivety. And I remain ever focused on trying to get different sources and different opinions to confirm what I might start to then consider to be the truth. Now, whilst I don't trust sources of information, I also don't try to block them out. I actively seek other people's opinions because I want diversity. I want to benefit from the leverage. I want to benefit and leverage the diversity of thought of other people and their lived experiences. And I also want to understand why people think differently. So despite the fact that we literally wore uniforms, I found teams in the military that were diverse and thought differently about problems were the ones that could learn and grow together. They formed tighter cohesive groups, and they were yet more adaptive to environments that changed around them than those that had uniform attitudes as well as dressed the same. So we would be less likely to be deceived by the enemy, more likely to spot problems early, and certainly better at solving them. And this is, of course, how humanity has evolved as a species. Through endeavors, time and time again, we solve problems through collective creativity. And it's not because we're bigger brained. It's not because we have opposable thumbs. There are animals out there that have big brains. There are animals out there that have opposable thumbs that haven't managed to evolve, haven't managed to adapt and solve challenges in the same way that humans have. It's the fact that we work in collective groups. It's the fact that we share stories, narratives, and ideas, and we collectively work together to create shared understanding. And so even if there are crazies out there who believe in madcap conspiracies, and they believe, you know, in their craziness, we have to expose ourselves to the reasoning behind their impassioned beliefs. So whether you believe in X or Y, whether you fit into, you know, a generational divide or a racial divide or whatever demographic, you have an open mind to other people's opinions and perspectives. In complex issues, there's no right and wrong. Every issue has the complexities that are bound up in histories, impassioned emotions, and lived experiences. And there are logical arguments on each side. And so if we want to find common ground and if we want to solve complex challenges, it's not about right and wrong, it's about creativity. And so my message today is less about, you know, how to build military teams It's about the fact that if we don't engage in these dialogues, if we don't tackle these complex challenges ahead of us, then other people will just do it for us. These challenges are not problems that need to be solved by scientists or politicians or military generals or, God forbid, billionaire, tech moguls. These are problems that are solved and are going to be solved by society. And I genuinely believe they will. But the challenges ahead of us are big, but within them, there is opportunity. The future is bright if we want it to be, but we've got to create that future. We've got to envisage now what the future we want to look like looks like. We get to employ the technology that we want. If you're interested in continuing this conversation, then I'd be delighted for you to listen to the podcast that I co-host with Chris Kitchener. It's called Battling with Business. And we're joined by guests, and we talk about these things and these issues, and we try to understand other people's points of view, and we try to understand complex issues. I'd be delighted if you join us, because this is not a conversation for big corporations or tech billionaires. This is a conversation for us and for society. And we've got to be creative, and we've got to use our creativity to design the future that we want to live in. Thank you, Paul. Back to you.